Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for this time we're in. A lot of stuff going on, Lord, and a lot of stuff that you're doing too. And we praise you and we thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for getting all of the world and the flesh off of us too, Father. And we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that you are helping clean up this deep state mess that's been in this government and probably in all of the governments in the world. And we praise you. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you, Lord, for bringing down these Democrats that are trying to hold up everything that Trump's done. Because, as you know, Lord, they're implicated in a lot of it. And, Father, we thank you for doing that. We thank you, Father, for taking them out of the way and let these people get to work doing what Trump wants to do, and that is to stop the corruption, stop the illegal spending of the American taxpayers' money, and from going to their hands, going all the way out and coming back to them, Lord. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Lord, we thank you for your healing power working over Katie right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for her. And I don't know what the score is with her now, Lord, but we're just believing you. I don't believe the reports of the doctors. I don't have any stock in their illegal stuff that they do with the drugs and all of that. Lord, and I thank you, Father, for healing her in Jesus' name. I'm just about at the same place that Dr. John Lake was. And I called him doctor. He wasn't a doctor. He did go to medical school for a little while, though. He's had a very scientific mind. Okay, has anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Ben.
I'm going to beat my dad to it. So Megan's water broke not too long ago.
Oh, praise God.
So, yeah, we're going to be getting a little baby probably in the next couple hours. Who knows?
Awesome.
I'm asking that we could all come together in prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your sovereign hands over this situation. Lord Father God, we thank you for protecting that family. We thank you for protecting my brother-in-law and my sister during their trials. Lord Father God, this is another trial that you're going to put them through. We just bless that baby, Lord Father God, and we just bless Megan that she has an easy birth, that the pain is minimal as possible, that that baby's going to shoot out of there naturally with no painkillers, whatever it's called. I forget what it's called. And that she's going to be able to get through this, and it's not going to take too long, and that she has no fear, and that she's going to be able to do this, and that Zach's going to be able to be beside her and give her motivation and just give them a healthy baby, Father. We thank you so much for giving them this healthy baby. And for bringing them back together so that they can be a loving family. And we thank you, Father, for bringing them back into the kingdom, Father. We thank you so much for all this. And we thank you so much, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for this fine, healthy baby and a healthy mama, too. Glory be to God. Go ahead, Missy.
Just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the excitement I know that Ben and Andrew both have. And thank you, Lord, that they're going to be a grandpa and an uncle for the first time. It's awesome. I don't know what it is to be the male side of it, but I know what it is to be the female side of it and be a grandma, a grammy. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Chattanooga pastor of the Greater Second Missionary Baptist Church is calling for violence against DOGE and Elon Musk. Lord, we come against that so-called pastor, Father. We ask that you remove him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. put him down in abject just pull him out, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Teresa.
I forget, I didn't write down this lady's name, but I think she's a, she had been, I know there's Bondi that's working with Trump, and there's another lady, and I think she's a attorney for one of Trump's attorneys. I think she's in a real high position. I'm sorry, I didn't write this stuff down. They need protection because they're coming against these people that are coming against Trump. And, you know, as they take down the USAID, you know, the people that were siphoning that money, they're coming against Trump. And these ladies, they're coming against those people. And so I would like God's the same anointing. Well, not the same, but, you know, God's appropriate anointing of his Holy Spirit on these ladies. And protection so that, you know, they're able to accomplish how would have them to accomplish, you know, because they know, you know, just in the words that they say that, you know, it's good fighting against evil and they're trying to stop the evil. And so I would like God to protect these ladies and give him the anointing, the fruits, gifts, and armor of his Holy Spirit so that, they're able to accomplish what he would have them to accomplish against these entities. You know,
amen. Yeah, Attorney General is Pam Bondi.
And then there's another one. She's in a major position. I think she is in a position of an attorney.
Are you talking about?
She has a real funny. She has a real strange sounding name.
Yeah, she's a black-headed lady. Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Lord, we thank you for pulling back all. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's Alina Haba.
Yeah, that's the one.
Is the she was the lead defense attorney for Trump when he was being railroaded, so to speak.
And she's still working and she's coming against, you know, like all these different entities that Elon Musk and Trump and, you know, the people that are working with them, you know, uncovering their, you know, they're taking, you know, people's tax, you know, using our money as their money and then using it for evil purposes.
Yep. They're good at that. There's a bunch of women in there. I'm surprised. Gabbard. That's who I was thinking of. Tulsa Gabbard. There's another one up there.
Have they confirmed Gabbard and there are three of them that they're still waiting to confirm they've had their,
I don't know. I hadn't really looked at the news today much at all. I don't know. I know that they have a strategy of dragging their feet through this and they want to put Trump back in jail. And because, listen, these are criminals. These are treasonous criminals. By the Constitution, they are. And they are trying their best to keep out of jail. And they're going to try everything they can to keep out of there. But Jesus. But God. And I think you're going to see that every one of these nominees are going to get put into office. And we're going to see a government that has been trimmed down so much so that we're able to handle it by just a few people. There is no accountability in the government right now. Zilch. They got money going to places. Well, y'all have heard all of the stories, haven't you? Mm-hmm. They got money going to places for Sesame Street in some way off country, for goodness sake. Go ahead, Pat.
Just going to say, obviously the reason for the kickback and the pushback that we're seeing now is because Trump and this Department of Government efficiency is getting down to the hour that is currently running our government right now. I won't say currently running, but that is operating in levers of power. And it's exposing the reason, obviously, congressmen and Democrats, and you're going to probably see Republicans kicking up about this stuff as well, because the machine, when these politicians, when these congressmen get elected and go into this cesspool or this machine, you know, this isn't like back, you know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington type of thing, and you're, you know, really, you know, standing for the Constitution in this. Oh, wow, that sounded like Clinton, didn't it? Anyway, you have situations where if somebody wants to create a law, as if we need more, but that's another subject, create a law to get something passed, basically, for the most part, they have to collaborate with other senators or congressmen or whatever, and it becomes a thing of, if you vote for my bill, then I'll allow you to put in this little piece of legislation tucked into here that supplies money that, you know, to the whatever. And so these laws that get passed, they become so big, full of everybody's agreements to get money out of the system, so to speak, and then they get passed. They shove a, you know, 20,000-page bill on these congressmen, and they're supposed to be able to read it and discern whether or not it's worthy of passing, etc. And they never even read this stuff. And then you have, you know, tucked in this bill, you have all kinds of money going to certain organizations, you know, say the USAID and various other different organizations. And it's such a hard thing to control, because they distribute this wealth out throughout all kinds of, you know, we've gone through the USAID and that stirred up the pot. And now they're looking at FEMA, you know, who has been supporting, you know, come to find out, even though most people that read other alternatives of news already knew this, but Biden had been supplying illegal, you know, buying motels, hotel rooms in various different places and supplying them with money through FEMA. So there's all kinds of shenanigans that are coming to light. And the problem is you're really trampling on our current way of navigating laws and governing, so to speak. So you're really getting down to the point where you're cutting off the resources for this type of thing to function in Congress. So I think you're going to see a whole lot more kickback and kick up about this, because now we were talking ideology before, Democrats versus Republican ideology, but now you're bypassing that and you're getting right down to, cutting the funds off for all these people and all these organizations and all these nefarious plans that people have. And I think one of the, we're working up the chain. When they hit the Pentagon, all hell's going to break loose. You're going to start seeing those $250 or $400 hammers, and various different things like that and whatever. So anyway, I think you're gonna, we're really starting the battle in this process right now. So anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah. Well, there is no doubt that there is deep, deep corruption in this government. And the Congress is one of the main culprits. Democrats and Republicans. I don't, you know, I just, there's a whole lot less Republicans, it looks like, but there's plenty of to go around. And they've been stealing the money from us for decades. If not generations. So, Lord, we thank you for cleaning it up. Thank you, Lord, that there's a lot going on spiritually too. So, I'm not going to get into that tonight. I'll let that go some other time. But, it's all going to come to a reckoning. And you remember Washington's dream, don't you? Okay, that's happening real time. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'd like to maybe pray that some of these monies be put back into maybe safer roads and infrastructure for America, that they should start doing some of that stuff with it.
Yeah.
You know, that the American people would see some progress to this, you know, to help the highways and just the things they're supposed to have, you know, that the public misses out on. So, Lord, I pray that you would get the job done thorough for restoring some of the items that the American people should have, and especially in some of the poorer areas of America. Lord, this is supposed to be the richest country in the world, and I've seen some signs of very poor areas, very few people, and people living in tents on the street, Lord. So, I pray that some common sense be used, Father, and these people either go back home, they get off what they're high on, and that they find good employment and get back into life. Father God, wherever it would please you to save some of these people also, Lord, and from all levels of life, of from the person on the streets to the person who's going to be helping making things correct for America and some of the infrastructure and stuff. So thank you, Lord, that this nefarious way of using the money would be turned for using good, to do good stuff.
Yeah, in
In
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Okay. Grandpa Andrew and Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben's rice. Okay, praise God. That'll be awesome. Boy, I love all these little kids we got here. Golly, they're mounting every day. Okay. Do y'all want to hear something really cool? Really cool about George Washington? If you don't know, Andrew, who George Washington was, he was the founder. I thought I'd give you a little history lesson, but it looks like you're waving me off. Okay, good. Okay, this is the Indian legend of George Washington. This is a true story. The Indian legend of George Washington's divine protection. For over a century and a half until 1934, the Indian account of George Washington's divine protection in the Battle of Monongahela and the French and Indian War was standard in our history textbooks until removed, presumably by those skeptical or dismissive of God's intervention in the affairs of man. Today, few Americans know of it as those in the above category and the enemies of the Republic seek to belittle our founders. We celebrate the birthday of George Washington, February the 22nd, by returning our attention to this miraculous event. Well, my, that's something special. That's my wedding anniversary. In the French and Indian War, 1,400 British troops marched over the Appalachian Mountains to seize French Fort Duquesne. And I probably quoted that. Near present-day Pittsburgh, Colonel George Washington, then 23 years old, took the rear of General Edward Braddock's army, mostly because he considered American soldiers inferior, not Washington, but this Braddock guy. The problem was that the European style of warfare was to march into a clearing facing an opponent who did the same. Stop, load, and fire, never breaking rank. The British in bright red uniforms made perfect targets. Hiding behind trees or rocks was considered cowardly. Whew, that's stupid. But anyway, both Indians and Americans considered this warfare style suicidal. But Washington, who had warned the general of this, had to obey orders. On July 9th, 1755, the Battle of Monongahela began when Braddock passed through a ravine and an army half his size, hiding behind borders and trees, annihilated him. Officers were mounted targets. Washington rode back and forth on the line through a hailstorm of musket balls, delivering Braddock's orders as he was the only officer still on horseback. He could not take command until the wounded Braddock was carried from the field. Unfortunately, the two-hour ambush left 976 casualties before Washington could save what was left. A British soldier recorded, "I expected every moment to see him fall. Nothing but the superintending care of Providence could have saved him." Surrounded by slaughter, the British regulars broke and run as sheep pursued by dogs, is what Washington later wrote. His Virginia militia continued to die, attempting to aid the fleeing British. The pursuing Indians were slowed only by their thirst for battlefield scalps and booty. Of his approximately 100 volunteers, there is scarce 30 men left alive. Washington was angry. The dastardly behavior of those they call regulars exposed out all others that were inclined to do their duty to almost certain death. The first miracle of the battle was that Washington was everywhere in it, although extremely ill. I was scarcely able to do, as I was not half recovered from a violent illness that had confined me to my bed and a wagon for about 10 days. I am still in a weak and feeble condition, he later wrote his mother, Mary, telling her that he needed another 2 or 3 days to recover a little strength just to start his journey home, but expected many weeks yet to recuperate fully. When safely at Fort Cumberland, Washington wrote his younger brother, John Augustine Washington, July 18, 1755, by the all-powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation. For I had 4 bullets through my coat and 2 horses shot under me, yet escaped unhurt. Although death was leveling my companions on every side of me, Washington wrote the same to his mother, Mary Ball Washington. 15 years later, Washington and Dr. Craik, a personal physician and close friend, were traveling through those same woods near the Ohio River and Great Kanawha River. They were met by an old Indian chief who addressed Washington through an interpreter with the following story. He said, "I am a chief and ruler over my tribes. My influence extends to the waters of the Great Lakes and to the far blue mountains. I have traveled a long and weary path that I might see the young warrior of the great battle. It was on the day when the white man's blood mixed with the streams of our forest that I first beheld this chief. I called to my young men and said, 'Mark yon tall and daring warrior. He is not of the Red Coat tribe. He hath an Indian's wisdom, and his warriors fight as we do. Himself alone exposed, quick, let your aim be certain, and he dies.' Our rifles were leveled, rifles which, but for you, knew not how to miss. 'Twas all in vain. A power mightier far than we, it's a power mightier far than we, shielded you. One warrior declared, 'I had 17 fair fires at him with my rifle, and after all could not bring him to the ground. Seeing you were under the special guardianship of the Great Spirit, we immediately ceased to fire at you.'" And he quit firing because he was tired of using up their bullets on him. He said, then this chief's prophecy, he said, "I am old and soon shall be gathered to the great council fire of my fathers in the land of shades. But ere I go, there's something bids me speak to the voice of prophecy. Listen, the Great Spirit protects that man and guides his destinies. He will become the chief of nations, and a people yet unborn will hail him as the founder of a mighty empire. I am come to pay homage to the man who is the particular favorite of heaven and who could never die in battle. The man who could not be killed, George Washington Park Curtis, Recollections and Private Memoirs of Washington." The chief's prophecy came true. Perhaps it is time to be less dismissive and more inclusive of the hand of God in the affairs of this nation. Glory be to God. Whew. They said that he had bullets torn into his coat that didn't penetrate to his skin. Never got a scratch on him. Never got a scratch. And these Indians were marksmen. They don't miss. Fabulous story that they took out of our books. They took them out back in, what do you say, 1934? Something like that, 35? You saying 35, Julie? Or you
No,
just
I've
got
raised
your
my
hand up?
hand. I have questions.
Okay.
Where did you find
All
that at? Because there wasn't
right.
any history book.
I found it first. I saw on Instagram a deal by Ben Carson. If you
Yeah, that's what I
remember,
thought you
I'll
were going
let
to
y'all
play.
see that.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to play.
Now, well, this had a little more to it, and I thought I'd just
Yeah.
read it.
It's really interesting.
Yeah.
David Barton, who are you familiar with him?
Huh.
David Barton is, excuse me, the founder of. I can't remember what it is now, but his whole goal was to preserve and restore American the
Yes.
education system. I think I keep thinking of like Promise Keepers, but it's not Promise Keepers. It's something oath. I don't remember what it is now. I'd have to Google his name and listen. But I heard him give this very story probably 25 years ago. It was read in our church. So it's pretty interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see and see if I can find his website.
Yeah, that was actually the other day when I saw Ben Carson talking to this other guy about it. Was the first time I'd heard that story. David said he had heard it a few years ago, but that's the first time I'd heard that one. Wasn't in our history books. Oh my, thank you, Lord. Okay, has anybody else got anything they'd like to share or pray about? I thank you, Lord, for getting all these history books back straightened out in Jesus' name, putting the truth back in them. I can't believe that the British thought they could come over here and just show themselves and people going to run and scared and hide and, and all that because of their might. Their big red coats that you couldn't hide behind a tree with. Go ahead, Missy.
I saw on Real Raw News about FEMA, trying to take FEMA down. And the problem with FEMA is that they have accounts offshore and they don't know where the accounts are. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to find them and take their money from them. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for sending the angels out there to find it
Amen.
And take it to whoever needs to see it. Thank you, Father. Put it on her desk. Ooh, glory to God. I hadn't heard that, Missy.
Was that today, Missy?
There's so much corruption. I can't keep up with the news. I got too much to do. But, boy, that's just 50, you miss a day and you've missed a bunch of stuff, I guess. Hey, did they confirm Gabbard, Tulsa Gabbard? Cash Patel? Don't know. I don't, if you hadn't heard
it. I heard it was put off. Yeah, I heard it was postponed or I don't know if it's postponed or just it's in discussion or whatever, and that something is coming up Thursday. So
yeah, they postponed it from last Friday to this week. I thought it was Wednesday. It could be Thursday too. So maybe they'll go ahead and get him in. I think they ought to release all of the papers they've got on these congressmen and show what they've been stealing from the American people.
Why they're delaying and why they're fighting back and why they're resisting all this. Yeah. Pretty evident.
Absolutely. This is crazy. I knew this was going to happen. Everybody here knows the Democrats. They're not going to sit down and just let them go ahead. They're going to try everything they can to stop Trump from exposing the corruption. Hey, listen, the senators in the House don't have anything to do with how this country's run. It's a deep state military industrial complex that's doing it. The ones that are paying the money. They get the money from the U.S. people and they dole it out to the politician. We're going to see a lot of that. I'm not saying that's the only one, but a lot of it. All right, Nick. Hey, bud, how you doing?
Good. Supposed to get a big snowstorm.
Well, you go right ahead, buddy. How big? How big?
5 to 8 inches.
Oh, yeah.
5 to 8.
Yeah, that ain't nothing for y'all up there, is it?
Yeah. Y'all,
is it 5 or 8 feet or inches?
5 to 8 inches.
Okay. All right. I'm just kidding you, brother. I'm just kidding you. That's snow area. Okay. Lord, we thank you for giving Dick all the snow he can stand. Amen. Y'all got all kinds of equipment up there to take care of that snow on your highway. We ain't got that stuff down here. We have to go out on horseback, Nick. I can tell he don't believe that. Okay, but are you working? You're not working tonight, are you?
No, I'm off tonight.
Okay. All right. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
So Nick is off because he's going to be shoveling snow later. Is that it? I just wanted to join with Michael. I kind of got on just a little bit late, but Father, I want to thank you for healing Katie and the work that you're doing in her. Thank you, Lord, that your word stands. Your word is settled in heaven. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. And that, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us, that we have been saved by grace through faith, Lord. And we thank you for that. And we just praise you for the healing that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Something that you already put into place 2,000 years ago and spoke it into existence even before that. And we thank you for that. We praise you that that you have delivered and released Katie from fears and doubts, and that you're strengthening her even, encouraging her even in this time. We thank you, Lord. And praise you for the healing that the devil cannot stop. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that. For Katie and anybody else that needs it. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Because you paid the debt and we don't have to do it. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to put up with it. Because you took it upon you. And we praise you, Father, for taking it. And we just believe and confess that Katie is healed in Jesus' name. All right, anyone else? Okay. Hey, Josie. Reagan. I think that's how you pronounce it. Okay, let's see here. We're in real good news, right? Right.
Hey, Michael.
Hi.
Before we get into the book, can I play that song?
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead. Let me give you the right to do that. I hereby crown her as co-host right now, where she can share and put this in there. So help her Zoom.
Okay.
All right,
you got
me,
it. Jesus. Amen. Okay. I'll just say that this is the original live version of this song. And I couldn't, it doesn't have closed captions on here, but I'll put the lyrics in the chat. It's a real happy, real uplifting, happy song, I think. One of those things that can get you going here. So there's the lyrics, and we have them.
He's got the whole wide world.
Yeah, that was a good one. That's a different way of singing it, isn't it? The last time I heard it was a whole lot slower. Praise the Lord. That's a good one. Thank you, Julie. Yeah, Joe.
Morning, everybody. I just want to, before you get the real good news, my confession to make. It was so, yesterday morning in my quiet time, the Lord woke me up in my quiet time. My last couple of weeks, I was in Proverbs and all about wisdom and the might of God. And so I was really a fantastic one. Called to me on fantastic time I had with the Lord. But when in my quiet time I was reading, and when it came to me that I must remember something about what I read yesterday about what the Lord said, the four enemies of ours and so. And then I studied that, I looked for it and I couldn't remember it. I don't know why, but the more I look for it, the more anxious I get. I'm not sure why. And then all of a sudden when the fear came on me for not remembering that. I don't know why I do it, or if I'm not fully awake of things. I don't know. And then that all broke down. And then the Lord showed me that you get focused. You get so confident in the word, and all of a sudden you get so broken down and not remembering things, because I ask the Lord to remind me. But when I read it and try to remind me, Lord, wait for the Lord, well, I search for myself and not waiting on the Lord. And that's, I don't know why I did that, but it's confessing it just to you all and say, I don't know why I did this, but it's been forgiven. Lord gave me grace for it, and I'm up again and I'm running again. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Does it make it any sense, Michael?
I have to have some interpretation before I can make a judgment on that.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, this fear. Is that what you're talking about? Fear came on you?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I've had fear come on me a couple of times. Not here lately, but years ago I had a bad incident with it. But that's for another time. Go ahead, Pat.
Joe, can you elaborate on what the fear was? Or maybe you did and I just didn't understand it. I'm sorry.
I'm not sure. It's just for me, I'm asking the Lord to help me, but just not even a minute, things I started looking for myself and not waiting on the Lord. But I ask the Lord to help me, because many times when I ask the Lord, I think about something I did or read, and I ask Him, just show me where it is, because I want to put it all together. And when the Lord showed me quite regularly, showed me quite quickly about it, but then I didn't wait for Him to show me what I supposed to read, and I'm not sure why the fear came on me, but that was it. Does it make no sense? But
it was fear because you didn't, you weren't aware.
I wasn't waiting on the Lord. Doesn't give Him enough time to give me an answer.
I Amen, Joe. A lot of us do that too many times, you know, not waiting on the Lord. It's that, just have to wait around and get it. We got that, David calls it the McDonald mental attitude.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you for interesting, just, I'm not trying to follow you, but that's interesting. If you ask the Lord something, or anybody here, if you ask the Lord something, how long do you wait? Do you wait for, just sit and wait, or do you go into a reading, or how do you do it, if I may ask?
Well, it depends on what I'm asking him, of course.
Yeah.
But well, yeah. If I'm just waiting on the Lord to talk to me, I just sit there until he starts talking to me. And I don't know if this helps you or not. What I do, I just imagine that Jesus is standing, sitting right there in front of me. And then I start hearing him talk to me. And sometimes it takes a while, sometimes it doesn't. Most times it's, you know, get right into it. I pray in the Spirit a lot, and I try to stay in the Spirit a lot. And it's not, that's actually a doorway into the spiritual realm, is praying in the Spirit. And I generally try to do it for at least an hour before I start talking to the Lord. Not that that's a way to do it, but that's just the way I do it. And it's a lot easier for me to enter in and listen to the Lord at that time. And I tell you something else I do, Joe, is I try to talk to the Lord all the time, even, you know, out walking around or something. I'll just talk to the Lord like he's my best buddy. And I hear him at times, you know, like he's just standing or sitting right there next to me. You know, I'll be walking and I say, "Come on, Jesus." And he'll say, "Okay, I'm coming." Or he'll say, "Hey, I'm waiting on you," or just something like that, you know. Mm. And then just tell him, you know, the things that's on your mind, and then wait for him to answer. That's while I'm walking. Most time when I'm walking, I'm just like he's, you know, I don't know how you would say it. I know it sounds kind of strange, but it's just like me and David talk, you know. Mm. Except he's God, and I talk to him like he's God, you know. I don't know. It's hard to explain the way I do it, because I do it in all kinds of ways.
Mm. Can I ask anybody else then? I do it if I don't mind.
If there's a serious question on my mind, I'll get in this Chase Lounge over here after I prayed in the Spirit, and I'll imagine that Jesus is sitting right here. And when I ask, you know, "Lord, what is it you want me to hear from you today?" almost immediately he'll start telling me. And I have a notebook over here that I write it all down. I try to write every bit of it down. And it's most of the time it's for me, you know, whatever. Okay, has anybody else got something they wanted to share with Joe about that? Is that what you got, Pat or Julie?
Yeah, I would have to admit that Michael's sensitivity to the Holy Spirit or to the Lord Jesus is, I'm going to say, more sensitive than mine, and I wish mine was as close, or I guess expressive or specifically vocal, I guess you might say. Mine is not. And I'm not saying that I am right. I'm saying that I wish.
Let me correct you, Pat. It's not vocal. It's a spiritual thing. I hear him in my mind. It's not that he talks out loud to me. I just know what he said.
Yes, I didn't. It was maybe I misspoke in that meaning, but I guess when you talk about talking to the Lord, it's almost more conversational. With me, it seems to be, I kind of anchored down upon the truth that the Lord has given me the Holy Spirit to guide me into all truth. And I use that basis. This is my own personal thing. I use that basis of God, knowing that the Lord is guiding me, whether it be through the Spirit, through the Word, whether it be through circumstances that are coming my way in life or whatever it is. And I find myself utilizing that a stimulus, I guess you might say, to voice my heart to the Lord and to communicate to him through prayer in that way. And I just trust him that he's guiding me through, even through the circumstances of life that push me in a particular direction in the scripture. And whether I wake up in the morning and he's given me a thought or a particular vein, and I just follow that track and listen to him through his word, etc. Again, I don't. I feel and desire more of a conversational presence of the Lord. But I'm going to say that I don't sense that or see or experience that as much as I perceive that Michael does. I know for sure. So I don't know if that helps or hinders or whatever, Joe.
Let me say something that will help everybody. Use your imagination. If you use your imagination, that will help you tremendously. Because before I ever start, I just imagine that Jesus is sitting in this chair right here, and I'm over in my Chase Lounge, and I can just see him in my mind right there. And he starts, you just start to conversation. All right, Jesus, what's up, man? How's things going? You just do that. You carry on a conversation with him. And then you start. I do all the praise and worship before on these type. But when I'm out walking, it's just me and Jesus walking, It's just like me and David's walking, or me and Pat's walking, or me and Andrew's walking, anybody's walking. He's my friend. And that's what we have to, he is our friend. Is he your friend? Yeah, he's your friend. He's walking with you. He's inside of you, for goodness sake. Come on, Jesus. Michael, I'm ahead of you. I'm waiting on you. That's what I'm doing, brubber. He talks like an Arkansas guy to me. Now, I don't know how y'all do it, but that's what he does. Debbie, he probably talks to Debbie like somebody from, where you from? Illinois?
Yeah.
He probably talks to her like a Yankee, I don't know.
He talks slow.
Yeah. Oh, he does. Yeah, I expect he does. He talked to me real slow. I can understand him. It don't sound like a 33 1/3 at a 78 speed.
I'm not that bad.
No. Some of you young people won't even know what I'm talking about, but go ahead, Teresa. Oh, my.
The way I experienced it was when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, you know, I didn't even start going to a church because I was raised up Catholic and I rejected it when I was 10 years old. But I still had to go to Catholic schools and then a Catholic high school. But I rejected all that. And so I wasn't born again until I was 16. But I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit until I was 21. And I didn't go to a church until I was 21. And because there was nothing around. See, I lived out in Western Kansas, Catholic country. And the Catholic Church was the dominant church there. And I didn't even know there were other places. So so when I started hearing the word and started studying the word and then started standing on the word for my family, praying the word, then God started speaking to me in dreams and visions. And then, you know, not so much verbal. Or, you know, and then when I started playing the music, which was the word, then I would just have a knowing, you know, I would just have an understanding and a knowing. And then recently, when I was standing for, you know, now Terry, my oldest son, you know, I hadn't been with him for many, many years because, you know, when the kids grew up, they got their families and then, you know, everybody just kind of got separated. And so I had been separated from Terry and his family for what, 20 years. And so when he and his wife started having problems, and I had just come back to Kansas and been here for about 2 years now, and I felt like God wanted me to come back. I was asked to come back by my kids and from Idaho. And so when I came back, I felt like I was coming. I was specifically asked by my youngest son, Mom, come back and spend time with your kids and your grandkids and let us help take care of you. And so I did that. And I felt like I was coming back for my kids. Well, I believe now that God brought me back as a stander to stand for my kids and their families. And so, which is what I've been doing. But, you know, concerning Terry, when, you know, he went into where he needed deliverance, you know, he fell off the deep end because of everything that was happening in his life, you know, and so we needed to get him delivered, you know, and that's, you know, I was standing on the word, standing on the word, standing on the word. And then, you know, and then I thought, okay, I need help, you know. And so I called UBM and, you know, and then, but before I had done that, God had given me, was it before or somewhere right around there, God had given me a vision. And in this, and it was just an imagination. And, you know, so in the imagination, I was standing in front of the judge in a courthouse, and it was concerning Terry. And the judge, you know, on his bench, you know, and, you know, he was way up there. I was way down here, you know, beneath the bench. And, you know, he was way up there, and he was turning these pages around. And he looked at me, and he said, Mama, you've been fighting hard for your son. I'm going to give your boy back to you. That was God. And so, you know, at the time it looked like he was going to die, you know, and because of his addiction. And so, you know, and he had basically just given up on life. And so, you know, and then I you know, and then Michael and I prayed. So in other words, what I'm saying is God responded to me by my standing on the word and fighting for my son, standing on the word, standing on the word, standing on the word. God answered me. So I feel like God answers me when I stand on the word. So I guess that's it.
Yeah, praise God. Here come the judge. Here come the judge. Everybody look good. Here come the judge. All right. That was a good vision that you had, wasn't it?
Well, Michael, you were part of the deliverance, because when you pray, you came into the outreach and you said, we're going to have a miracle. And right away you prayed for Terry and you cast those demons out. And he was sitting in jail, you know, and to where he could not continue consuming alcohol. And, you know, and he had no help to help him with withdrawals at all. And he was like in the last stages of it, you know, and so he could have died. And so, and he hadn't eaten for, he had not had regular meals for what, 2 months? And so when you prayed, you know, and you cast those demons out, he was sitting in jail. Later when he talked to my daughter, he said, it's not in me anymore. And it has not been in him anymore.
Praise God.
He has, his life has just shot, you know, shot up, you know.
Praise God.
Just like you prayed. And I agree. We agreed together.
Yep. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your work and Terry.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay. All right, Julie.
Sometimes just waiting on the Lord. You have questions for him and stuff, and you want to understand, like, you understand about your situation or your future, or, you know, something that the scriptures say, and you want understanding. Or I've had him, you know, just for like personal things for me, like just if I was struggling it, you know, even like in my own personal deliverances and that kind of thing, and just getting my heart healed and that kind of thing, the Lord would just bring things back to my memory of, you know, things when I was little and that kind of thing. And he would just kind of put it all together, and he just kept doing that for me until I got the pictures. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You know, just different little things like that. Or he'll just speak to my mind when I'm asking questions sometimes, you know, waiting on the Lord and just pondering something, and he'll just through the Spirit just give me something in my mind. It'll just like, okay. Or there were times like I had just a heavy oppression and affliction, and I was on my knees, and this was, you know, not long after I really had been into UBM teachings and all that stuff, and understood what, you know, healing was, and you know, miracles and just different things. And I just had this, you know, excruciating pain and something that was happening to me. I care a little bit about, like, when you're talking about, you know, your shoulder, Michael, and I was talking about how I injured my left hand when I was in my 20s playing softball. Well, the exact same feeling was happening in this hand. I'm like, what is happening? And I got my knees, and I'm like, Lord, what is this? Because this is what, you know, I didn't hurt myself. This, what is this? And I just heard him say very clearly, it's a test. Okay, what does that mean? You know, I just had to wait for it to, you know, just go through it. And like, okay, it's a test. And I was like, how long is this test going to last? And it's like, it took 24 hours and all the symptoms, you know, left. But I'm like, okay, that's weird, you know. But waiting on the Lord, sometimes I'll get a direct answer, like, it's a test, you know. Or sometimes it's just like I'll be thinking about something and just pondering at my mind, like you do when you have questions about stuff, like, prophetic things, like what's happening now is coming to pass, what we've been reading and the dreams and stuff that, and prophecies and visions that have been given years ago. And we're seeing these things starting to come to pass now, or things that are happening that, you know, and it's just like, so you're thinking about this stuff and you start asking the Lord about questions about, well, what about this? And what about this? And when's this going to happen? And, you know, and just, so it can be anything. You're waiting on the Lord. You can't be in a rush. It's waiting. Is waiting, you know, you just gotta wait, you know, he's there, he's listening, but I just think sometimes it's just getting quiet, getting rid of all the confusion, the distractions, the just being able to settle in and rest with the Lord and not being in a hurry, not be anxious about it if you don't hear anything right away, because he's there. I mean, he is listening, and he is, you know, he wants us to seek him, you know. Seek him for answers. Seek me and, you know, ask me these things. Ask me. You know, seek my face. Well, okay, Lord, I'm seeking your face. Where are you? I want to hear. I want to hear you. I want to see you. You know, where are you? You know, like David said, you know, the one thing I've asked of the Lord, that may, one thing I've asked of the Lord, and that may I, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life and inquire in his temple. You know, and I can't remember the rest of that scripture. Anyhow, the 27th Psalm. Anyway, inquire in his temple. We're inquiring things in his temple. We're ministers. We're, you know, we're his priests in the temple and making, you know, intercession prayers and inquiring of him of things and asking him questions, just like we're supposed to do. So, you know, it's just who we are. He's called us for that. And it's just being not in a hurry, you know, like Michael said, you know, we want it in a minute, you know, hurry up. And we have to wait. There's a lot of, I think that if you do a word search, there's a lot of scriptures about waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. I hope that helps you a little bit, Joe, because, you know, I think we're all waiting on the Lord for things, answers and promises and that kind of thing. And yeah, just don't be in a hurry. He may not answer you for a day or two. I don't know. He may not answer you for a week. I'm still waiting for an answer for a few things. Like, when is this going to happen, Lord? I think you promised me, you know. But if it's a promise, we know it's yes and amen. It's just believing.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Hey, Debbie, would you relate to us how you talk to the Lord? Do you mind? I know you're over by yourself. You're probably jumping up and down, hollering. No, I'm just kidding. She's very reserved. You're going to have to unmute. Much a lot better.
It's like I'm talking to myself all the time here, but I have to talk to, but it's to the Lord I'm talking to all the time. I don't have the radio playing, music playing or anything. I just talk to the Lord. And so, yeah, I often hear him just answer me back. Sometimes just even saying my name, Debbie, and then say, then answer me back. And, he's just who I talk to, and he does answer back. He talks back to me. So, and what else to say? I don't know how I feel about things, and especially, especially when I get down before him and worship him, and I'm worshiping with these certain favorite songs I like to use, and I just wanted to say this. Yeah, he a number of times has said, I love that song. songs we love together. So, so anyway, there's nothing real big and booming. I'm sure a lot of people, yeah. You all just talk to the Lord and you hear him speak back. But I wanted to get on anyway and ask if I could sing that a song, that scripture that you were just referring to, Julie. one thing have I desired of the Lord. What is the reference to that? I don't know the reference to it, but.
Oh, funny. I just put it in the chat. One thing I've asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
It's a real pretty song. Is it okay if I share it?
Sure, yeah.
One thing have I desired of the Lord. Excuse me. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. He will hide me, he will set me up upon a rock, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, Andrew.
So behold the beauty of the Lord. So I know it's a verse somewhere. I just can't remember where it was. Was that in the psalm where he's the shepherd there? Surely mercy and, you know, as the deer panted for the water, or because, you know, whenever someone says a visual word like behold, you know, it's really cool because we know it's not by sight, right? It's by faith. So you know, it's like when we look in when we get the unveiled face, you know, we are beholding there, behold, you know. And there's a really cool verse in Isaiah 45 and 22. You just have to look and you'll be saved. So that's kind of neat, you know. You look and there's not a lot to do when you have to look at something. So you know, it's a verse that I recently was shown to me, is 45:22, to look. And then I was getting a whole bunch of other beholding verses and seeing, you know. And you know, it's just really neat because I forget the phrase now when she said behold the Lord. And well, how does it go, Deb?
Behold the beauty of the Lord. It's that is in Psalm 27:4.
Yeah, but you know, the behold part is for you because it's faith. You know, it's something that's within you too, you know. So and as much as you're saying it, you know, it's like you're invoking it, you're wanting it, you're praising him for it, you know. And it's just a wonderful concept to put in your heart and mind to constantly behold, you know. Like when you say a visual word, you know, you want to keep focused, yes, but the visual word is always gonna be translated into faith for you, because we all with an unveiled face behold him there, you know. And so the faithfulness there is actually helping you to get that wonderful behavior out of you too, you know. It's a concept of actually even a kind of a medicinal for you to hear these words, you know. So that's what I think it's just wonderful when, you know, when the Lord shows you these things. Anyways, just making a comment there. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I don't want you to think that I sit around all the time thinking of the Lord. I get distracted too. And there's, you know, there's lots of times that I'd hate to say it, but there's times that I just don't do it. I get tied up in doing things that take distraction.
Well, with me, Michael, right now, there's kind of a bit of a distraction going on in the background. So I'm really trying to behold the Lord in everything. You know, I want to see what the Lord's going to do in everything, because He is sovereign. You know, so if He's sovereign and He's your Father, so if you meditate on that a bit, then and everything that He's given you so far, He put a lot of stuff in your head and in your heart. Because from the least of us to the greatest of us, He's kind of put that, when He's going to put the law in your heart and in your mind. But you see, when He does that, it's not putting law in you, because I will put my law into their mind and write it upon, I will write it upon their heart. So if He's doing it by the I will, it's grace. So it's just so lovely that those are the quoted verses from the covenant in Hebrews chapter 8. If He's going to put this in your heart, then why is it sometimes we get so much trouble when it's already put in there? Come on. You know, if it's already put in there, and sometimes we're so used to getting the other guy tempting us that sometimes we just don't really think, well, it's there, you know, because He gave it to us. So I don't sometimes understand everything, but you know, sometimes you got to repent about things too when He shows you how you were neglecting Him or just not receiving when He's telling you something. Like, I don't know how many times I've heard the word faith in all these different studies and on Wednesdays and Sundays, you know, and come on, it's like inundated. And then you go, wait a minute, am I not receiving this, or should I be kind of repenting now, because it's like it's being grilled into you, especially like if you're gonna just listen every Wednesdays and Fridays and Sundays. I just don't want to make anyone feel bad, but it's, don't resist anymore. If the word of God's being put in you, just why resist, you know? Why not just, this is the word of God, you know? And he's speaking to you, and he's wondering why. I think that sometimes we just don't get it. Why don't you get this? Why aren't you listening to me now? The other guy's been bugging you for so long, so now just hear the word from me. And believe it and do it, you know. All you want to do is love the Lord. So faith that worketh love, And if you know it's a promise, and you know you're supposed to rest in it, and you know by resting in it, it is finished. So I'm not trying to be critical or trying to say nobody has this, because you do. So just be quiet and do it. You know, this is just an advice of a person whose swelling is probably all gone now from his little ordeal he had. So, and it was quite painful for a few days there. And so, you know, and before that, there was the thing in my eyeball, you know, so that's gone too. So I think the Lord is a wonderful, wonderful Lord. And we have to be more observant in many things. That said, he showed me something, and I'm just going to speak it real quickly because I don't want to get in trouble with the Lord. He showed me another saying or mantra that's kind of wrong. And you know how it says when you look upon a woman, or if you call someone worthless or stupid or something, he magnifies that? Well, to be fair to the people, it was done. When he spoke that, they were still under the law, because they were. But he's not magnifying the law. Jesus wasn't magnifying the law. He was trying to bring in a magnification of fulfilling the law, I think. So, you know, whenever you say that word law, you might put some people back under the law. So it's kind of like a real bad word to say, you know, especially since now we're after the cross and resurrection. So, you know, as for that, you know, he wasn't magnifying the law. He was magnifying to them the law about just looking or calling someone crazy or worthless, I believe, a raka, right? You know, there's his tongues for you, so you don't say that. And he's not magnifying. He's magnifying the fulfillment of the law. So we got to be careful, and that's the only way I want to say it. You know, I'm not saying that they weren't literally wrong, but if you say something that might put a person back under the law, so you don't do that, because we know that we're not. God never made a covenant with his church for law. So the fulfillment of the law, sure thing, because that's grace. So just another saying, you know, that I didn't know whether to share or not, but, you know, there's two things there. So, you know, Jesus had brothers and sisters. You know, talk about family salvation. Come on now. I'm sure he's got all his brothers and his mother up there. Come on. So praise God. Glory to God. That's all. I just wanted to say that. Whatever word to him. And you know, he didn't have many miracles in his hometown. But I'm sure he had plenty of miracles with his mother and his brothers and sisters. So don't include them into your hometown, even though they may not know the Lord yet, but they should. if everything goes the way they're supposed to go, like it was with Jesus. Amen. Praise God.
Have you ever wondered, Andrew, about the talks around Jesus's house when he was growing up with his brothers and sisters? You ever wondered? Well, Mama told me this about you, Jesus. you know, this. I wonder if he did have talks like this. I know it doesn't make
a whole lot. You know, I can safely say I've had a little conversation of my own. When I'm 12 years old and I'm going to be missing for 3 days and three nights, I don't think my mom would have handled it that way. Like Mary and had hers handled with Joseph, I think something else would have happened. But I'm not saying anything bad. I mean, it just goes to show that they had a really good society back then, too, because you can be 12 years old and gone for 3 days, and someone gave them pajamas or whatever and breakfast every morning amongst those people who were in the temple, right?
And, well, I suspect they were real close, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what you get when you get some favor with God and with man.
Yeah.
You know, we were told to speak grace, weren't we?
Yeah.
You know the grace language? It's in every nationality. Every language is out there. You can speak grace, and it's tough to do that nowadays, but the Lord will bring it out of us somehow so that we can do it.
Amen.
Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're even told to do that. And we're not supposed to be disobedient. We're supposed to speak the oracles of God. Grace-wise. Simplicity. Everyone's trying to make it like a rocket science. It's not rock. I got my rocket science degree here. Well, those people who got... Did you know that Sheffy didn't get his license for being a preacher? He never got a license for being a preacher. And there was a guy by the name of Wesley. He was a preacher, but he had it wrong. And then he got saved. And then he got filled with the Spirit a bit there. So he could do both ways. Yeah. So just speaking off the top of my head here. Anyway. Glory to God for this. Thank you, Lord, for the simplicity and the purity that is in Christ. Lord, let's not think too difficultly. Sometimes we make things really difficult on ourselves, and yeah. We shouldn't do that, you know? Like, he's saying, why are you making this difficult, Andrew? It's pretty simple. Come on now. Anyway, yeah, so, you know, the verse there, it's on my wall over here in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing. Do I have to go any further beyond anything you can think or ask? So don't think too much about it. Let him do it. He's sovereign. He knows what he's doing. He's Father. And we got to let him go first with Jesus in our walk. And if it's something that you heard of happening to other brethren in the past, then that's what your walk is going to be. You know, if we're going to be reading the Bible and know about what Jesus did, you know, like what about Matthew 11, you know? It's really cool because the last verses there are, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But, you know, if you go way back up to 15, he's got these people playing the flute in the market. And you didn't dance and mourning, and you didn't mourn with me. What's wrong with you people? But you see, these people, this is spoken in context to John the Baptist and Jesus Christ himself. And he's trying to teach them something here. And he's trying to even maybe put a little bit of fear of God on them, and they don't want it. So there's some lovely lessons that people could get, but you still have to go to the Word and have a look, you know. So praise God anyway.
Amen.
Thanks, Andrew.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Okay, anybody else? This is a good subject. How do you talk to Jesus? When do you talk to Jesus? When do you talk to the Lord? All the time. Let's see, does anybody want to tell us? Yeah, Julie.
You can be talking to the Lord as you read the word, you know, and
yep.
Just, you know, when you're praying to him that you see something in there, you want to pray for yourself or your family or the body or, you know, pray against, you know, our enemies. Just do, you know, do warfare, all kinds of stuff. You can be praying and talking to the Lord. And it's like, Lord, help me to focus on this. And how do you want me to pray this? How do you want me to pray this specifically? And he'll show you how. You know? How does this apply to me? Or how does this apply to what we're seeing happening in the world right now? And help me to pray this. Yeah, that's a great time because he is the word and, you know, that's his presence. His presence is there when you're reading the word because like he wrote it and he's right there. You know? I think that's a good time to be talking with the Lord as you're reading the word. I swear sometimes that's when I really hear him the best is when I'm sitting there trying to read the word. You know, not be distracted.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy. You've been awful quiet tonight.
Well, here you go. well, you know, the Lord's been telling me a lot lately. Just, you know, being the Word is, you know, very similar to what Julie, you're saying. Just being in the Word, being the Word as much as possible. And I feel like he's saying, don't be concerned about just sitting there and just waiting for me to talk to you. I'll talk to you while you read your word, and you can pray while you read the word. You know, like Julie was saying, you know, it's just be in the word, and I'll talk to you, and you pray about what you're reading and talk to me about it, and so on and so forth. So, yeah. There you go.
All right. Yeah, Julie.
And both we can talk to him and he can talk to us through songs. There's a lot of songs that minister to me. And I think there's a lot of songs that minister to the Lord as we praise and worship him. And the music is another, he gave us music. And there's so many beautiful songs out there that they're really, really, you know, the lyrics and the melody and just, you know, how it's written, you know, doing warfare, you know, all kinds of things that, you know, that's another way to be. I feel his presence sometimes in music. So if I feel his presence, I know that he's here and that he's listening and that he's pleased or, you know. Maybe, you know, he can speak to you through music. I think that's another way as well.
Amen. Okay, Joe, go ahead.
It makes a lot of sense. Well, quite a few things Andrew said. Sometimes you get so used to the other, I don't want to call him even names, but just in your head. So you're used to not thinking about the Lord and then getting. Then you're making it too complicated and not focusing on just a simple childlike listening, not faith listening to the Lord. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Andrew.
Amen. Yeah. I believe the more you do it, the more you'll be wanting to do it. You'll be looking forward to those times. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Um, My sister is really seeking the Lord right now because she's got a lot of concerns. You know, because she works for the government. She's a federal employee, and so I just, you know, I've been praying for her and, you know, praying in agreement with my in the chat with, you know, there's three of us, praying to, four of us praying together, and anyhow, I just asked her, it's like, you know, I asked God to give her a sign to confirm that she was hearing from him, and you know, for her, his direction and stuff. And I just said, do you suppose maybe he's trying to tell you this is a good time to, you know, whether or not you should be even working for the government? And she's like, oh yeah, we've had lots of conversations, you know, so that's what it is. It's just conversation. What's on your heart? What are you thinking about? And what are you concerned about? And like Andrea quoted, you know, be anxious for nothing. You know, if you're anxious about it, you need to talk to God about it first. You know, go to him and just say this, you know, whatever, because he already knows it's bothering you. He already knows you're concerned about it. He already knows that it's whether it's family, whether it was something that's going on with the world right now, because it is pretty much going crazy, you know, a lot. And there's a lot of things happening. And and just asking, Lord, how do you want me praying about this? You know, and so there's just conversations with the Lord and what's on your heart and what are you thinking about and what it's, you know, because there's always stuff to be praying about. I guess this is another way to look at it too. So, you know.
Amen. Yeah, Pat.
I know, you know, what Julie said about, you know, just reading the word and letting the Lord speak to you through that. A couple days ago, he had me back in John chapter 14. And the interesting thing about that chapter in relation to what Joe was talking about, the first verse says, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. And we just had, I guess, you know, there's another thing that when you're talking about conversing with the Lord, I have found that when the Lord sends me down a thought, a path, a thought progression. The only thing I can say is to me, it feels like a thought progression where he'll lead me to one thought, and then that one builds on another, and then I'm thinking, you know, it's like I'm having a conversation, and it's almost like I am listening. I'm speaking in my mind the thoughts, but I'm listening to it at the same time. And so, anyway, that seems to be kind of typical that the Lord has, I guess, I don't know that I have developed it, but it just seems like that's the way that the Lord speaks to me, is, and it's through that thought progression process. But I was listening, reading this chapter, and it's interesting that the first verse is, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. And the last verse in that chapter, not the last one, pretty close to the last one. Verse 27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." Again, that's statement in verse 1. "Neither let it be fearful." And the scripture, that word let it not, or let it, it was kind of, it kind of came to me the other day when I was thinking about that scripture that said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." And I thought about that scripture. I thought, whenever I read that, "Let God not, let God be true and every man a liar." And I thought, what do you mean, let God be true? God is true. How can you let him be true? And I was seeing it this last time in thinking about that scripture, and it kind of dawned on me, and it ties in with these two verses here, and it is the idea of it's not so much letting God be true, because he that's all he is true. But it's a reference, I believe, to letting him be true in you, in me, letting him, releasing him, let him be true. And I don't know that it's not the same principle, the same concept of letting, don't let fear, don't let your heart be troubled, but let nor let it be fearful, but let that peace of God, which is in us, remain. Let it be in control. If you look at the verses between in John 14, between verse 1 and 27, it's talking about, and Jesus is talking about, "My Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so," or dwelling places. He calls it, or those are apartment, or they're dwelling places, places, of dwelling. If you think about it, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that the dwelling place of God. And in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I know that a while back, that just those words, I'm reading this in the New Americans. I'm sorry, I just drew a blank. NENT, the numeric. And he says, and he said, "I'm going to prepare, I would have told you, for I am going to prepare you a place. And if I go and prepare you a place, I come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also." So he's talking about a place, and I believe he's talking about a place within us, that sense of him leaving so that he can, in that process, prepare us and make us bring out in us, allow us to let him, to release him within us. Is that preparation of that place that if you look down in verse 6, which is one of my favorite verses, Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes unto the Father but through me. And then in verse 10, excuse me, says, believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I said to you, I speak not of myself, not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. So Jesus is talking about an abiding relationship that he has with the Father. And I believe it is that, well, as a matter of fact, if you go down to verse 16, he's speaking about, if I leave, I will send you another comforter. That word, another comforter. If you look up the vine's expression of that, as a matter of fact, I'll read it real quick. It says in the vines, that word another is allos, which is the Greek. There's two words for another. One of them is allos, and the other is heteros. I'm not going to bore you with all that, but one expresses a numerical, the first one, the one that is being used here, expresses a numerical difference and denotes, quote, another of the same sort. In other words, two, not just one. When he says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. That's another of the same sort, expressed a qualitative difference and denotes another. The other word, heteros, expresses a qualitatively difference and denotes another of a different sort. Well, I'm getting way off in here. The point being is that he was bringing another comforter into the picture along with Jesus. But anyways, talking about an environment there. And so it's just interesting that he starts that chapter off with, do not let your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me, and then ends that process with this very same encouragement or commandment, if you would, let not your heart be troubled, neither be fearful. I leave you my peace, not that the world gives, but my peace. So anyway, I just throw that out as kind of the last thing that the Lord was showing me in those verses.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right, anyone else? That's been a good discussion tonight. Thank you, Joe. And everybody else. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, how did Jesus know to send Peter down by the river to catch a fish with a gold coin in his mouth? And How did he know that that donkey was going to be tied in the room there in the city when he sent his disciples forward to get it? So he wasn't there, you know. How did John know what was going on in the seven churches when he was in prison on an island? He didn't go there with a clipboard. So God's a mind reader. And he can read everything in your mind. And like you were saying earlier, when you got a concern, you know, you may have a concern on how you're supposed to talk to someone. Everyone gets that one. Come on. How am I going to tell these people the gospel? You know? And he knows you're thinking that. He knows, and he's going, well, he wants to be of service, you know. So he you know, you think of all the different people you could run into, you know, and you go, but what if he's like that, you know? And again, that's going down the round pathway there, so you don't think that way. So you go, when is he going to open that door for me, you know, to relay that thing, you know? And you know, how did Peter know he was supposed to be sitting on the roof? And he didn't know someone was coming to meet him from Cornelius. So, you know, it just goes to show that he is sovereign over all things. That he has everything already planned out for you. And I don't know if it's this a matter of becoming ready, or, you know, you do it to a certain extent, you know, when you try to talk to other people about the Lord. But you know, it surely all these different people in all these different denominations should know what it says in Matthew 25. Like, there's the wise guys and then there's the foolish, you know. So I don't know. I was asking them, could I do that, Lord? Can I just go to them and say, wouldn't you want the best person to talk to? Or wouldn't you want the best man in the pulpit up there? Because your eternal life depends upon it here. So, and we know who the best, because there's only one guy anyway. So, you know, one body, one spirit, all seven ones, all the way down to God the Father, who's over all, in all, and through all. So, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I'm just making some comments and some statements. That's about it, you know, because that's about it.
Okay, yeah, that's just about it. We are out of time. Well, thank you, Lord, for helping us out tonight. We praise you, Father, that I hope it helps everybody here and also listening, that they would draw nigh unto God and start talking a lot more to him. He loves to do that with us. He really does. He wants to talk and believe that we love him, and that's how you show it. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right, folks. Good night. God bless you. See y'all later, alligator.